Brother,
can I say something real quick?
Yes, Steve, go ahead.
I'm really blown me away, you know, I said it was looking great, the farm about the evening, and I said, what, you bury your mom, your dad, your mom, and you still never, not, it's what the Lord taught you on the creek, I just pray for that.
Amen.
It's awesome for you to be able to do that, because I've watched you bury, deal with your dad, your mom, it's really hard to see that, and she's out there, I know that over there with doors and bells.
Well, I tell you, Steve, it's nothing is easy in life, but, and I've told this several times since mom passed away. The night before mom passed away, mom and I had a pretty serious talk, and basically I told mom, I said, Mom, I'm thinking about retiring. I said, I got 30 years coming up, and I said, I'm thinking about hanging it up and let a young man take over. And she said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I don't know. I'll fish some, sell on a boat. She said, well, here's what I tell you. Here's what I think you need to do. Now, my mother was known for just sort of speaking her mind. Y'all know that.
Amen.
She said, here's what you need to do. If you're going to retire, just go on to the funeral home and buy you a casket at the same time. And I said, what do you mean by that? Because she said, what use are you to the Lord? She said, you know, the Lord called you to do something, and you need to do that. And she said, you're not over the hill by a long shot. You still got your health. And she said, there ain't no reason to hang it up as long as you've got anybody at all in front of you. And I said, well, but you know, Mom, you know, after all these many years, I've done said everything there is to say and to do everything there is to do. I said, I it may be time to let a young one. She said, oh, Roger, that's just silly on your part. Who ever like said, just keep preaching. As long as you're preaching, God's going to take care of you. And so I said, well, I'll pray about it, Mom. She said, no, I don't hear that nonsense. I don't pray about nothing. Just do what you're supposed to do. And so I'm still here. That was 2 years ago and still going. And there's some Sundays that I don't feel the best, but I feel pretty good today. Try this cast thing one more time to try to close up this wound on the bottom of my foot. It's almost closed up, but they're convinced, unless I go back in the cast, to go back into this cast means that, you know, I won't be able to wear suit pants. I'm going to be back in jogging outfits again preaching. I don't like that, but I just won't have a whole lot of choice. But here's what I really need the most prayer about. I cannot drive. I have to ride with Monica.
The roads are safe.
Man, oh man, oh man, you know. And Lord forbid that I say something about the driving or something along those lines, you know. But anyway, when we get back next weekend, and then the following Monday, this cast is going on. So next Saturday, I won't be in the cast. But then after that, they're thinking if I'll wear it for a month, we'll close it up. And here's what's important about that, folks. If I can close it up, then I go back and have my meeting with my kidney transplant. They won't talk about it until this wound is closed up. So anyway, we're going to take another shot at it and see if we can close it up. So, all right, yes, ma'am.
Roger, Monica, I am kidding you. I know exactly what you'll be going through.
Oh, with Bill, yes, you got to take Bill
everywhere. He doesn't drive anymore. I do now.
But y'all, that's a favor to, that's a public service. You know what? No.
Lisa, as good as I've been to you, you turn on anybody. Yeah. Hey, listen, I got all these wonderful award guys from Waste Man. They'll drive me wherever I want to go. It may be in a garbage truck, but I'll take me wherever I want to go. scripture. Psalms, what again? Psalms 107, verses 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks unto God, for he is good. His love and kindness endureth forever. Once you accept God and his grace and his love and his mercy, you are joined with God for eternity, forever and ever. It endureth through everything you go through. God will be with you every step of the way. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Let the redeemed of God say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. We don't care where you're from. You can be from the north, the south, the east, or the west. You can be black, white, green, or yellow, male, female, young, or old. God's grace is for you. He died for everyone. His love and his mercy and his forgiveness goes to any and everybody who will truly accept him as Lord and Savior. Do you get it? So it doesn't make any difference where you're from, what you do, what you're about. Jesus loves you. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. All right, Larry, here we go. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert way. They found no city of habitation. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto God in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Understand, when we take our eyes off God, we're going to be in the wilderness. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be there alone, but there are some times when we get out of the will of God, God is going to get our attention. Amen. And sometimes he has to let us get in the wilderness for a while, get under the sun, get under the rain, get under the snow, the ice, whatever life throws at us, so that we will wake up. And then once we do, look at verse 6. Once we wake up, then they cried unto God in their trouble. In other words, we're like, okay, God, I'm tired of running. God, I'm sorry. God, I apologize. I want to have a right relationship with you. And he delivered them out of their distresses. But it's not an automatic. You need to go to God every day and say, God, I need your grace, your kindness, your love, your direction every day. Because Satan will try to destroy you, your family, your children, everything about you, your job, everything about you, he will try to destroy if he can be your witness. But he can't touch you when you understand that you're under God's amazing, amazing grace. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Larry. He led them also by a straight way, and that they might go to a city of habitation. In other words, it's like you're lost. You can't find your way. He takes you from the gravel road to the interstate. Now, I've told this story many, 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 many times, but knowing my congregation and the kind of memory some of you got, I can tell it again. Monica and I took the kids years ago. We decided to go to Niagara Falls. We decided to go up to Detroit, cross over into Canada, and go that way. Beautiful, beautiful road. We got up there, and Monica decided that there was one place she wanted to get off, which is called the Queen's Highway. They call it the Queen's Highway. In this country, we call them interstates. And so we had to get off the Queen's Highway about 15, 20 miles to go over to one of the great lakes that she wanted to see. So we get off over there and get into this little quaint Canadian town, beautiful town, I mean, no problems whatsoever. Town of about 1,000 people, no litter. You've heard about how Canada is up there. I mean, they're just spotless. So we get out and we go and we put our footies into the Great Lakes there, which 10 below zero, you know, we all caught cold, but it was something Mama wanted to do. And so we did that, so we finally decided it's time to get back to the interstate. Now, I'm a man. I don't ask for directions. There ain't no such thing. And this was back before the GPS days. It was back long, long time ago. So I circled this town about 3 or 4 times and couldn't find my way to get out of it. So finally Monica said, if we just gonna circle all day long, you're gonna ask somebody. So anyway, I pulled up and there was a man standing on the corner and I said, sir, I'm trying to get back to Queens Highway. Can you tell me how? And he started coming off with French. Didn't speak English. And he'd come off with all this type of stuff. I didn't have a clue what he was saying to me. I said, Monica, you have any idea what he said? She said, well, no, honey, I don't speak French. So I said, okay, thank you. And rolled up the window. Go over the next corner over. Guy there. Rolled down the window and said, can you help me get back to the Queens Highway? Same thing. Speak English. I said, it's going to be a long day in Canada, talking French and whatever, trying to say. So anyway, we go up to the third person. I roll down to one day, and I said, I need to get to Highway, Queens Highway. He said, yeah, just go down here and make a right. Of course, he's no perfect English, you know? Somehow or another, we have to get back to the main highway in life sometimes, and we have to have a little help to get there. So that's all this to say. He says, we might go to the city of habitation, and oh, that men would praise God for his love and kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies, look at this, he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he filleth with good. Verse 9, I'm going to spend a little time here to close. I want you to understand something. The only way we strive a lifetime to figure out how to be satisfied, or how to be happy, however way you want to put it, a lifetime figure it out. Some people never find it. They never find it because they're looking in the wrong place. You understand that? Looking in the wrong place. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he filleth with good. For he satisfies. When you seek out God, 3 ways that you do it. I say it all the time. Simple stuff. But it's powerful stuff. You seek God out in his church. Come to church. Be a part of the local church. This is very important. Number 2, God's Word. Find a translation that you like. Go on the internet. Do what you do. Just find something that you enjoy. A translation you enjoy reading. Get a study Bible and study it. And then prayer. If you will do those 3 things, no matter what life will throw at you, and Lord knows it throws a lot at us. I mean, a lot of you can give all kinds of testimonies of what life's thrown at you. Good, bad, or indifferent, but it's there. Life's what it is. We don't ever know what we're going to face, what we're going to do. But if we will continue in those 3 things, no matter what it is, you will walk it every day with the Lord Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit, and God the Father. Amen. And when you got these 3 on your side, I'm here to tell you, you will make it. You will make it. You will get through it. It may hurt. It may hurt for a while, but you will get through it. Do not throw in the towel. Do not give up on God. He is the best friend that you've got. I say this all the time. People get aggravated at God and they run from God. I don't know how you do that, because everywhere you run from, you run to. Because God's everywhere. How can you outrun something that's everywhere? And after a while, God gets a little tired of treating you like a child. And he'll just let you slip. He'll let you fall. He'll let you hurt. He'll let you get your attention. And then he'll stick that hand out and say, are you ready to come home? Huh? Are you ready to come home? Have you had enough? Have you had enough? Why don't you come on back home? Come back in where you're loved, where you know you're going to be forgiven. Come back home to the warmth and the love of Jesus Christ, His Spirit, and God the Father. And the hungry soul, he's going to feel with good. Now, I have to say this. I had a set of grandparents back when I was smaller that told me that they lived during the Depression time and they were hungry. Now, I've got to say, in my lifetime, I don't know what that's like. I never lived through anything like that. But I remember as a kid them telling me that there were times they didn't know where the next food was coming from. And they said, we wasn't in this alone. The whole country was in that kind of shape. But there was never a time, that they didn't have something. It may have just been beans. It may have just been fruit. It may have been some type of a potato. It may have been a vegetable. But they had enough to survive until the next day when it was better. Understand this. God may not lay down for you a 3, 5, 10-course meal, but he'll see that you get what you need until we can get to where you want. Understand that? He is the bridge of our lives that gets us through some very horrible times that we need to get through. But he will get you through it because he loves you, he cares about you, he cares about your family. Just remember, you come to church, you study his word, and you pray, and I promise you every need that you've got will be met. And somewhere down the road, you may even get a few ones. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Stand. Father, the precious and holy name of Jesus. Father, I am so thankful for your grace every day because I need it. Father, continue to watch over our little church and our people. Father, we want to always be a lighthouse in this community. We want the doors open. We want the lights on. We want people to know that people are here because they care about Jesus. Father, be with our church. Be with every aspect of it, from our finances to our fellowship to our spirit. Father, if there be one here today that's lost, the very most important decision that will ever be made in this lifetime except Jesus Christ. Maybe you need a quiet time at the altar. Maybe you'd like for me to pray with you. Just come and let me hug you and pray with you. But whatever's on your hearts, leave it here at the altar of God, because he loves and cares for you. Father, bless these moments together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Step in.